If you're looking for big, important news, you're in the wrong place. Wait, don't go. We still have news. It's just more along the lines of hyperlocal police reports regarding moose deaths in remote towns in Alaska, or something like that. The point is, this podcast has news you never thought you would need, because you probably don't. Welcome to The Littlest Headline.
Hey, I'm Yoni Marion.
I'm Rowan Olson.
And I'm Moses Fleischman.
And this is The Littlest Headline, a different kind of news podcast, looking at news you've never heard from places you've probably never been, but definitely still want to hear about.
Each episode, we pick a lesser-known town or county in the U.S. and review the local newspaper, bringing their news right to you. What are we reading today?
Today, we're reading from the Tupper Lake Free Press in Tupper Lake, New York. Before we begin, I would just like to take a moment to acknowledge that the land upon which Tupper Lake and Franklin County was built on is the indigenous land of the Mohawk people. And let's get into a little bit of info about Tupper Lake. So, as I mentioned earlier, Tupper Lake is within Franklin County, New York, and it has a population of 3,282 people. It's within the boundaries of the Adirondack Park, and it's west of Lake Placid and nearby to Saranac Lake, which means that it's part of a Tri-Lakes region, because Tupper Lake is bordered by, you guessed it, a lake.
Whoa. By two lakes.
By no? Three lakes.
Three lakes.
Bordered by three lakes.
Tupper Lake, Saranac Lake, and Lake Placid.
Well, it's not bordered by itself.
Well, the village is called Tupper Lake, but it's also there's a lake that's called Tupper
Lake. We're gonna need to distinguish that going forward.
Should I say Tupper Lake Lake?
No.
And Tupper Lake.
I was gonna chat about that in my segment.
Oh, okay. We'll let Moses chat about it.
Will handle that. Thank you, Moses. Okay, so the village of Tupper Lake is 2.14 square miles, and it has a bunch of really cool little things to do, I guess, and like nature-oriented attractions, I guess. That doesn't seem like a very good word for it.
I think it is a great word for it.
Anyway, very cool thing. So they have this thing called the Wild Center. It's their natural history center. Very cool, very interesting part of the town. And the Adirondack Sky Center and Observatory is on the north side of town, which I know while I'm here, I definitely want to go see that because that sounds pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the village is also located on the east shore of Raquette Pond. So lots of bodies of water in this area. And you'll never believe it, but it has a humid continental climate.
Whoa. That's wild.
I know. No way. All right. And then do you guys want to try and guess the state flower? It's very doable this time.
The New York thistle.
Nope.
Is thistle a flower? Is it?
I don't know. Yon, what's your guess?
The sunflower.
No.
Okay. How many words is it?
One.
Daisy.
No.
Pot. No, that's California. Poppy's California.
No, no, mine. I get. Okay. Final guess.
Dandelion.
Marigold.
Nope. It's a rose.
Carnation.
Oh. Sorry.
Rose. That's like the most flower-y flower.
Yeah.
I should have thought of that.
So the New York rose. I mean, it's not the New York rose, but the state flower of New York is a rose. And the state bird is?
The rose eater. I always got to start with that one.
The eagle.
Neither of those two.
Okay.
Is it also one word?
No, it's two.
Blue jay.
Close.
Blue bird.
Very, very, very close.
Three blue birds from Angry Birds.
It's not that. It's the eastern bluebird.
Rats.
That's three words.
Oh, but bluebird is one word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what's spot on? Damn.
Damn.
Yeah. Good job.
Almost spot on. I was a little disoriented.
Close enough.
Very close. All right, Moses, take it away.
All right. So the history of Tupper Lake. And so in 1850, a lumber company called the Pomeroy Lumber Company began a logging operation in the area. This was before it was considered Tupper Lake. And a clearing that was left over from all the logging became the site of the village of Tupper Lake. So about the names, Tupper Lake was the village. But it's also the town. And for most of my history, I'm going to be talking about the village of Tupper Lake. And Yon, does the newspaper cover the town of Tupper Lake or just the village of Tupper Lake?
The newspaper, I'll talk about it later, but according to the Library of Congress, it one of the subjects listed was Franklin County. Mm-hmm. But most of the articles I saw were about Tupper Lake specifically.
Okay.
Y'all didn't see the same?
Yeah, it was pretty much all about Tupper Lake.
So I thought it was all right. I'm sure there's some things that address Franklin County, but mostly it seems to cover Tupper Lake the large, whichever area is larger.
Okay, the town. So Tupper Lake, the village, which was established in the late 1800s, is now considered part of the town of Tupper Lake. But the name of the town was, it was called Altamont until 2004. So just to keep in mind, before about 20 years ago, it was called Altamont, and now it's called Tupper Lake, the town of Tupper Lake. But back in the 1890s...
Altamont with an L or Altamont with an N?
Altamont.
Okay.
In the 1890s, many buildings had been constructed, but in 1899, a fire burned many of them down.
No!
Yeah, but luckily, the lumber business continued to swell even after the fire, and the local village of Faust...
I bet it swelled after the fire. If there's anything you need more of after a fire, it's stuff to build with.
Jan's right. The local village of Faust became a railroad hub. I really hope I'm saying that right, but I assume it's like the author. And became a railroad hub. And so the village of Tupper Lake, which is very nearby, also prospered. In the 1940s, the villages of Faust and Tupper Lake combined to become the village of Tupper Lake. So I guess the village of Faust really lost out on that one because they lost their name. But maybe the citizens of Faust wanted it that way. The former village of Faust is now known by the locals as the Junction, due to that being where the railroad junction was. And the only reference left to the town of Faust is the Faust Motel, which is located on Main Street. So now everything is pretty much Tupper Lake. The town of Altamont, which is what Tupper Lake town, the town of Tupper Lake used to be called, was organized in 1890. And in an effort to avoid confusion with many other Altamonts around the state, they decided to change the name to be like the village of Tupper Lake. And so they changed the town name from Altamont to Tupper Lake.
Sorry, to avoid confusion, they changed the name to the name of something that already existed?
Well, yeah, you don't want to get your Altamont confused with the other Altamont.
But now I'm going to get my Tupper Lake confused with the other Tupper Lake.
Well, the town councilors changed the name on July 16th, 2004. So not a whole lot we can do about it.
That's actually pretty recent.
Yeah, very
It was called
recent.
Altamont until 2004?
Until 2004. Wow. Until July 16th, 2004. And as far as I know, as far as my research told me, the logging industry in Tupper Lake remains pretty strong. Although in the winter season, roads are frozen and the logging season has gotten a little bit shorter over the years. But we are not here to talk about Tupper Lake, neither the village nor the town.
What?
Really?
No. You'll never get this, but we're here to talk about what happens in Tupper Lake.
Oh.
And for that, we need the newspaper.
Newspapers, plural. Oh. There's some doozies here. In 1895, this information is courtesy of the Chronicling America website, courtesy of, in turn, the Library of Congress. In 1895, one George C. Edgar published the Tupper Lake Herald. The first result for such a name on Ancestry.com says this George C. Edgar, based on the 1940 census, said George C. Edgar was born about 1898, which is 3 years after the newspaper was published. So I don't think that one's him. I just thought that was interesting. To be fair, later on that page for the Tupper Lake Herald, it says, quote, began in 1895? End quote. So it could be George C. Edgar, if you're still out there, I doubt it. But if you are still out there, hit us up, thelittlestheadline@gmail.com. In 1924, Louis C. Schleip and his Adirondack Mountain Press joined in to make the Tupper Lake Herald and Adirondack Mountain Press. It was one newspaper. And I couldn't find anything about him online. That newspaper existed until 1931, when it was succeeded by the Tupper Lake Free Press, started by Lawrence P. Quinn. Now, this might be the most accurate Ancestry.com hit we've gotten on someone, because it places his approximate birth year at 1891, and his home in 1940 was in Tupper Lake.
Hey!
So, Lawrence P. Quinn, it could actually be the same one. Then in 1937, Colonial Press took the paper back to its roots and published the Tupper Lake Free Press and Tupper Lake Herald, kind of joining in multiple multiple papers. Now, like I said, it does appear to cover Franklin County. I believe it is published weekly. And it still mostly seems to cover Tupper Lake itself, though I'm sure some of the articles will reference surrounding areas within Franklin County. But we're not here to talk about the news. Well, actually, we are here to talk about the newspaper. But more specifically, we want to talk about the things in the newspaper, too.
Like the pictures?
Sometimes there's pictures. I was talking more about the words. Who wants to... Does anyone have a series of words from this paper they'd like to read out at the other two and at all the other listeners? Now, I hate this train of thought. Can someone please read their article?
All right, so my article is called Tupper Lake Volunteers Impress Visiting Nordic Skiers at First Adirondack Tour de Ski Here. It was published on January 24th, 2024, and it was written by Dan McClelland. All right, so it begins like this. Tupper Lake's first Adirondack Tour de Ski was a resounding success and well-received by the 200 or more people who came to the Tupper Lake Golf Course's James C. Furnett Network of Trails to enjoy it. That it came off so well is solid testimony to the hard work of the trail maintenance crew who overcame what could have been a washout for the Sunday, January 14th event with heavy rain the day before. So,
is a washout like when it rains so hard you can't ski?
I'm going to guess yes. Okay. I'm not a big skier, but I think that's what it that's what it says.
I'm not a skier at all.
Actually, I think a washout is when you put
Moses, this is going to be
funny.
A joke? Moses,
it was going to be a joke, but it's not. It's
no, now
not
you
funny.
Have to say it. Now you have to finish
it. It's just when you put you take all of your clothes that you've ever owned, like, and you put them in the river and you wash them outside.
Are you proud of yourself?
No, I'm not. That's why I didn't want to tell the joke.
Thank you, Moses.
No, thank you, Moses.
Please continue with the article.
All right. So the article continues.
That was terrible.
Thanks, Yon.
Go on, Ro.
All right. So the article continues a little bit down about kind of the preparation for this event. So it says the maintenance crew, directed by John Gillis, spent much of the day before the race shoveling snow back onto the trails. Volunteer Herbie Kentiel gathered snow from the driving range part of the course with a skid steer and loaded it onto sleds so that we could spread it on the trails, according to Mr. Gillis. So they, it looks like they like went to other parts of the golf course and like took snow and then put it on different parts of the golf course, which is cool. And also the fact that this is happening on a golf course is really fun.
Optimal snow placement. Yeah, aren't golf courses famously like mostly flat and then there's like a lake in the middle of it?
I don't know. I've never thought about that.
I mean, there's no like big mountains in golf courses traditionally.
Well, there's like enough of a slope. Like,
I mean, there's okay. Like it's like there's like a moderate hill that spans.
Yeah, but it's enough
a
to
large
like.
It's not particularly steep though, is
right?
It?
Personal tangent time.
Okay.
When I lived in Colorado, my house like backed up onto a golf course, and like
your
I would,
house backed
like my
up?
Backyard like bordered a golf course.
Oh, like not like it moved onto. It. I thought like there was like a mudslide or something and your house moved onto a golf course.
That would be an entirely different thing. No. No mudslide. Anyway, so my sister and I would like hop the fence and like walk over to this golf course with like the other neighborhood kids. And it was actually really steep. Like it like started up here. Wait, viewers cannot see my hands. It started up pretty high. And then each hole, there were like, I want to say there were like 6 or 7 holes. And each of them had like a pretty big slope to get to the next one.
Okay.
And we would like sled down it. So that's kind of what I'm envisioning
never mind.
In my head.
I don't know. When I think of golf courses, I don't think of steepness. But to be fair, I haven't been to that many golf courses. Mini golf courses.
Yoni, are you saying golf?
Yeah, what? You're saying
you're
golf.
You're saying golf really
like with
weird.
A U.
You're like, mini golf courses.
Mini golf. No, not golf.
Yeah,
golf.
But you keep saying golf.
Golf.
That's you're
golf.
Saying it.
Golf.
Golf.
Do you not hear yourself?
No, not golf. No, I'm not golf. Saying golf.
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 G-A-U, G-A-W-L-F.
No, it's an O, golf.
Yeah, it's an O, golf.
No, golf.
Golf.
Have you ever heard someone in your life say golf?
Yeah, my whole family. English is not our first language.
Yeah, wait. How do you differentiate between like the Gulf of Mexico and like
because one is the Gulf of Mexico and one is the Gulf of Mexico.
What if you're
Mexico?
Golfing in Mexico?
Then I'm golfing on the Gulf of Mexico. I'm saying it differently.
What if Moses said, wow, the Gulf in Mexico is really great. And you were like, yeah, it's just, I love just putting and golf balls. And Moses was like, no, 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 the snorkeling in the Gulf of Mexico. And you're like, that's what I said, the Gulf. That did not make sense.
Yeah, what if, yeah, okay, what if? But that would never happen because I'm saying it differently.
It's okay.
What
I know it's okay.
What I'm hung up on is the fact that they have to shovel snow. Normally, like 99% of the time, when there's snow somewhere, you want to shovel it out of the way, like out of the trail, out of the road, out of your driveway. But what bothers me is that there's this 1% of the time they're shoveling the snow from off the trail back onto it. So I think if anyone else, like if your job is to like drive one of the snow
because they're skying there, so they need to.
I'm just saying, if that was like my job or if somebody was out there and their job was like get snow off of things, I think they'd be pretty amazed at the fact that they're trying to do the exact opposite.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm not that hung up on it.
I mean,
if you're going to ski there.
Yeah.
Am I saying that word right?
You are.
Okay, good job. Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm proud. Anyway.
I'm still going to keep saying golf the way that I say it.
It's not that different. It's just like you said it enough times in a row that I like noticed it. Okay. Back to the article. I just think it's really interesting, or like interesting is the wrong word. I think it's really cool. And really,
it's not interesting.
Actually, it's quite interesting.
Yeah,
I just think
I was teasing you. I know it is interesting. Okay. I think it is. Rowan just made a. Rowan gave me like the most comical stink eye ever.
I'm glad you think it's funny. Okay.
Was it not supposed to be?
No.
The drama.
Was it a sincere stink eye?
No, it was not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Don't worry. No one's fighting in the studio
Ron,
today.
Hmm? Wink.
Wink. All right.
Wink.
this whole little section
just finish
so
the just finish the article.
Okay. I will. Okay. It says, of the 200 or so people, many of them families who came for the event, there were about 53 or so racers in various ages from toddlers to teens to adults. Some of the more mature Nordic ski racers were in their 60s and early 70s. So I just feel like this is really cool. This is a really great community event. I really love, like, I think it's really creative that they took a golf course and covered it in snow and had people ski on it, because I feel like normally golf courses are not super fond of the idea of people skiing or sledding on their golf course.
True.
We don't endorse this unless you happen to live in Tupper Lake, in which case you should go check out the Adirondack Tour de Ski. That sounds awesome. That's all I was going to say.
I'm imagining, you said there's like they've got toddlers to like 70 some.
Yes. I was like, thinking the same thing.
I'm just, Yon was losing it while Rowan was saying that last part, but like, I'm just imagining just like the little, like a 3-year-old and like a 73-year-old just like going for it. They're both like in the final stretch. They're really just trying to race down this flat golf course, and I'm doing hand signals, but you can't.
And then a 28-year-old just completely destroys both of them.
Exactly. So I hope there's some like division by age or like skill level or something. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I think that would be kind of silly if everyone went at the same time.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm imagining.
I think you'll be comforted to know that there is a division, and they're actually formulating plans for a new 6-venue winter racing series.
Whoa.
Here in Lake Placid and Saranac Lake. The article actually goes on for like a very long time. Not a very long time. A little bit longer that I don't think we have time for today, but it basically details kind of the effort that was put into the event, the different organizers, the amount of community funding. So they also received help from AmeriCorps volunteers. They helped with the recreation assistant. We also had sponsorships from people. The Franklin County Tourism gave them a grant of $15,000. The County Tourism Agency, that's what I just said, excuse me, gave them another grant of $8,000. There we go. That's the same agency, guys. Yeah, basically a lot of people and a lot of effort went into planning this event. And the people of Tupper Lake were very, very happy with how it went. And it really brought together a community of skiing lovers, which is very fun.
I agree.
Okay, guys, how do you feel about bowling?
Bowling.
Okay. How do you feel about
bowling? Actually, that's how you say it in Hebrew.
Okay, great. Well, this article is about, it's called Bowling is District's New Varsity School Sport Here.
Wait, is that how you... Wait, now I'm not sure. You guys got all in my head about how I say certain sports. And now I don't know if I'm even saying it right in a different language.
This article was written on December. Oh, shoot. It printed in gray. I think it's December 13th, 2023.
I actually went, back and I changed, like I control shift, like I inspected it and changed the font to black before I printed it out.
That's smart.
Get on my level.
If I just said the wrong date, it'll be correct on our document. So,
well, if you actually put it on there this time, then
what?
Oh, roasted.
Well, this article is also by Dan McClelland. Thank you, Dan McClelland. Bowling is Tupper Lake High's new varsity sport.
Nice.
That's so.
Did
cool.
not even know that was a thing.
Well,
that bowling was a thing.
No, that varsity bowling for high schoolers was a thing.
Now
okay,
it is.
I didn't either, but the other day, this kid in my poli sci class was like. A positive highlight of my life is that I just won a bowling tournament. And I was like...
I knew those were a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing. And he was like, yeah, I've won a few. And we were like, what? And he wins bowling tournament. Maybe he should go to Tupper Lake
we
High.
We talked about bowling tournaments in episode like one or two. Do you remember when we came up with bowling team names?
Oh, yeah. I do remember
wow,
that.
Wow, what a blast
That's
from the past.
That's quite the throwback. I feel like that was with the old equipment.
That was with the old equipment, yeah. That was before we had it. We used to all huddle around one mic. If you haven't been listening since the beginning, we used to all like sit in three chairs and there was a single like foldable wooden table and we put one Yeti mic on it and just all like put our heads really close together.
Well, I'm going to read the second sentence of this article.
Please do.
And then more after that. The Tupper Lake Board of Education has approved the introduction of bowling as an official school sport, following a well-reasoned presentation by Athletic Director Dan Brown at the November board meeting. In the weeks after the meeting, Mr. Brown canvassed the student body at the middle and high school and found, the middle slash high school and found at least 20 students who want to bowl for the new school teams. So bowling is a go, and competition will start in coming days. The new varsity bowlers held their first practice at Lakeview Lanes Thursday after school, and Mr. Brown told the Free Press that the amazing thing about the new athletic venture is the majority of the students signed up to participate so far have never played a school sport before. So bowling is drawing in new people to participate in school sports and, you know, school spirit and all sorts of stuff. So that's really amazing.
I love it. Rowan, you were going to say something too. What were you going to say?
I also love it. That makes me really happy.
Dan Brown
is the author of The Da Vinci Code.
That's why I was going to say that name sounded familiar.
Well, he's also the athletic director of Tupper Lake High School.
Mm-mm. Wears many hats.
But I mean, it's not the same guy.
You don't know that.
It could be.
He did write his book is all about like codes and mystery and
it's
secrecy.
All about bowling
and high school.
and high school bowling, apparently.
It's very much not. Sorry, Rowan.
Hate to burst your bubble, but Dan Brown actually isn't both the author of The Da Vinci Code and the varsity bowling captain.
Okay,
coach,
he's the athletic director.
Thank you, Amy. There we go.
But okay, how do you top The Da Vinci Code other than starting varsity bowling?
If you solve The Da Vinci Code, then...
We know that athletics increases our civic awareness and athletics increases our positive personality traits, says Dan Brown. Sorry, that was me editorializing, but he says that. It increases our student health and all around it makes us better humans and prepares... Sorry, it makes our students better. I see why I misread that because it's a grammar error there, but it's fine. Our students better humans and prepares them for lifelong practices of sportsmanship, commitment, and engaging with other people. Bowling is an athletic opportunity that most people can do. Hockey in the winter, for the example, if you don't know how to skate, you can't start playing hockey and make your way into a high school team. And with basketball, you only have 5 kids on a court at any one time. With a goal of having a team of about 12
bowling
players,
is the perfect sport.
I mean, anyone can get into bowling, really.
Wait, I'm actually really excited about this. I like this a lot. It makes me really happy that like the kids who are joining are the kids who weren't in a high school sport before.
Exactly.
That's like a testament to this program. I'm a fan.
They're shooting for a team of about 12 players for practices and games, whereas bowling is an opportunity for a student of any athletic ability. As long as they want to participate and build upon a skill they may have only done a few times in their life before that.
Now, this relies on other high schools nearby also having varsity bowling teams, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
So is this like a big thing in the Franklin County area?
It's not a big thing, but it's not a big thing yet, but it is growing.
Ah.
I believe it's kind of buried in this article, so I don't know if I'm going to get to it, but I believe there's about four teams that are beginning to start. Ooh, so
that's gonna get competitive.
Yeah, it's gonna get bigger and bigger. The ball's gonna start rolling. Pins are gonna get knocked down. And you know, it's just the points are gonna add up until.
That's actually pretty good.
I don't have any more bowling puns. Miss Larson, who is a teacher at the school, bowled competitively in both high school and in college, which she attended for a bowling on a bowling scholarship.
What?
A bowling scholarship.
You can do that?
Yeah,
oh my God.
And she was a professional bowler for several years.
Well, I'd imagine.
Jen, Ms. Larson, has been promoting the idea of the district introducing high school bowling for a number of years. And according to a recent interview we did of her and her partner Mike in recent weeks, sorry, I don't know why that didn't sound right, but they are big fans of bowling. We were just waiting to see where the other schools in the district were going with it. So, as you know, bowling is beginning to grow in the area. Right now, we're at a sort of explosion point as we wait to see which of the new schools to introduce it will be.
That makes sense.
That made sense. That made grammatical sense. Mr. Brown said Tupper Lake historically was home to many youth leagues, which have disappeared in recent years. Jen was...
What happened to them?
I guess, I don't know, just interest kind of faded, but it sounds like it's beginning to grow back up, and bowling is getting back in the student pop conscience. Sorry, I don't know why I couldn't
find the student zeitgeist.
Everyone's really into bowling right now. It's, I don't know what it is. It's like the shoes or the pins or something else.
The balls? What? I feel like you avoided saying.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to say the balls.
Why? Moses, don't be this way.
Okay.
Jen, how are you going to play bowling without bowling balls?
I guess you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you going to earn your bowling scholarship without bowling balls, you know?
Yeah. How am I going to play golf? Without golf balls. Golf balls.
Golf.
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 I'm just going to not say the L. Just golf.
Golf.
Oh my gosh.
The inter-school competition would involve a bowling match, which consists of three games, Mr. Brown told the board members. Student bowlers would compete individually or as a team, he noted. He also said that sometimes an individual section will create something of an all-star team to compete at regional or state levels. Mr. Brown said there is no limit to the number of student bowlers on a school team, given the various available configurations of matches. I'm sorry, guys. My reading comprehension today is not very good.
Wait, there's no limit on the number of... Say that again?
There is, Mr. Brown said that there is no limit on the number of student bowlers on a school team.
Really?
Given the various available configurations of matches.
We get the whole school in there. Just make it a whole team effort.
Well, I assume, like, you know how you, like, swap out people, like, bench player, people who are on the bench, and then you can swap them in for a game? I assume it's like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about the article. But it seems like a super great opportunity that the bowling as a varsity sport is being reintroduced after, you know, a period of disinterest, and that it's growing and that it's something that's accessible for pretty much everybody. And is really exciting the students to get into sports and, you know, work as a team and all sorts of great things that come with it. So super excited for what comes next.
Nice. I might keep up with this. I might, like, once in a while Google, like, Franklin County varsity bowling stats. Just to see what's going on.
Keep me in the loop.
Will do. Exhibit building begins at renovated Tupper Lake History Museum. This article was published on January 10th, 2024 by, drumroll, please. Actually, don't drumroll. That would be really bad audio. By Dan McClelland. Again.
Yippee.
Thank you, Dan. With many of the interior renovation... With many of the interior renovations completed at the Tupper Lake History Museum, the volunteer board members are now turning their attention to exhibit arranging and exhibit building. This week, the directors have started to move artifacts in storage in their Amish-built shed outside and elsewhere around town into the renovated building. The plan is to position artifacts where they will eventually be exhibited and then incorporate them into the exhibits built around them. Do you guys want to guess how many times the word exhibit appears in this? I actually don't know. I didn't count. But might be fun to guess. It's part of the museum board's current organizational scheme.
Scheme?
Two of the three interior rooms have been completely renovated since early fall. The primary builder has been board member Jimmy Cookie Lanthier. His not middle name. His nickname is Cookie, which I thought was pretty cool. Who has devoted hundreds of hours of his carpentry talents to the major chore. He's been a one-man building crew since last summer.
Wow. That's really impressive.
Right?
Yeah.
Just before he took a trip overseas to Scandinavia to visit friends, he finished up the great room in what was likely service bays in the former gas station.
Whoa.
They done turned a gas station into a museum.
That's crazy. And it's wild that he's devoting so much of his time to that. That's
right.
Big ups
to... man's a serious carpenter. The ceiling features two large fans and several dozen tiny inset lights. I read that as insect lights at first, which I thought was pretty funny. Some of which will be pointed directly on the coming exhibits. Before he single-handedly constructed the ceiling, he thoroughly insulated the entire attic area. Mr. Lanthier, or Cookie, as I will be calling him, also stripped the walls of the large room. I'm holding the paper too far away from me. Stripped the walls out of the large room, furred them out, and insulated them before affixing new sheetrock after most of the building was completely rewired. That, I assume, he didn't do himself. That would be very impressive, though. I don't know. Maybe he did at this rate. After finishing the sheetrock, Cookie installed a half wall of wainscoting around the room's perimeter, topping it with cherry rail. By the way, I got, tired of, I didn't look up all of the carpentry terms in this because there's a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure some listener out there is like, yeah, I understand. If that's you, hit us up, thelittlestheadline@gmail.com. The room is very impressive and 10 feet high, providing plenty of wall space to hang photos and other museum artifacts. The museum board recently retained Brandon Moyler to install a new vinyl laminate flooring in the room. The flooring material was provided below wholesale cost by Tupper Lake Supply Co. Nice.
Nice. Bargains. Deals.
Bargain. Yeah. Before the flooring could be laid, there was a recessed section of the concrete floor that had to be filled, and that project, done by hand-mixing cement, was tackled by museum volunteer Bob Popcorn Duhame last fall.
Do they all have nicknames that are like foods?
I think it's just these two. I didn't see any more. I mean, maybe there's other ones, but in this article, we got Cookie and Popcorn. A remarkable chore for a nonagenarian. Yeah.
Whoa.
Let that sink in.
He's 90
something.
Whoa.
Wait.
Bob Popcorn Duhame, this 90 something hand mixed cement.
Whoa.
Wow. Or,
I think so. Yeah, done by hand mixing cement. I assume it was him that did it. A remarkable chore for a nonagenarian.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow, everyone in Tupper Lake is just like out there doing it.
On that
such
grind.
A cool little town. Oh my gosh.
Right? Like, this place seems like
people can
fun.
Ski, they can bowl, they can hand mix cement at 90 years old.
Well, that's the thing. They don't have to hand mix cement because their great grandpa's doing it for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last summer, Cookie devoted, it says Mr. Lanthier, but again, I just want to say Cookie. Cookie devoted considerable attention to the redecorating of the middle room in the building, which will be the main entrance area where guests will enter through a newly repaired front glass door. The center room is dressed in various types of wood to reflect this community's lumbering heritage, which I like. That seems nice.
Yeah.
It probably looks cool too. The only area of the building still to receive a facelift is the former beauty salon on the western end. Get it? Mr. Lanthier... Cookie. Maybe I should just say Mr. Lanthier. I want to respect the guy. Mr. Lanthier... has repaired the main bow window there, and work in that now cordoned off section of the building will be tackled over the winter as exhibits rise in the other two rooms. Related improvement chores like painting and replacing ceiling tiles have been tackled in the building over the. Something. There's two spaces there. I think there was supposed to be another word there. Over the, by a number of museum volunteers, including Mary Richer, Bob Duhame, Joe Kimfein, Diane Connor, Jeanette Keniston, Tom and Marlene Hyde, and the Hyde Fuel crew and others. The museum board is looking to have the new community showcase open briefly for the total eclipse weekend on April 6th, 7th, and 8th. Did y'all know that was coming?
I didn't know. Well, I guess the total eclipse for New York is different from like where we are on the other side of the country. Because like it's not going to be a total eclipse for us.
Well, yeah, but there'll be a...
There's an eclipse?
There's an eclipse. There's an eclipse.
That's cool. I didn't know that was coming up.
On April 6th, 7th, and 8th, to familiarize what is expected to be a full house of celestial fans.
Whoa.
Coming to... Which is a cool way of saying like...
They come from the stars.
Yeah. Full of celestial fans coming for the event with the community's heritage.
You know, I'm a celestial fan. Like, if we didn't have the sun, then I think life would be pretty difficult. And I'm a big fan of the stars, too.
I'm such a celestial fan.
It would be about
the
same for, like, 8 minutes, right? Is that what it is?
Something like that.
And then it would get really hard all of a sudden.
Yep.
The museum will then close for several more months to get it ready for an opening early this summer. So not actually several more months, just a couple of months. And a grand opening celebration event then. And they are accepting donations. You can send it to their P.O. box. And the contribution are tax deductible.
Hey.
Which is nice. The organization won IRS 501(c) tax exempt status last year.
Fantastic.
Hey, good job. Donate to the museum. I'm not going to say the P.O. box because that's not my job to dox this museum. But you can look it up. The Tupper Lake History Museum. So props to all these like 90-year-olds just hand mixing cement and spending hundreds of hours like building ceilings. Cookie single-handedly constructed the ceiling in one room.
That's insane. That's a Michelangelo type. Skill.
These guys are the modern.
This is the modern Sistine Chapel. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These guys are the modern Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I ever appreciated the weirdness of the fact that they named the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles after
Renaissance artists.
After Renaissance artists.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And like they were not all friends in real life.
No.
Right? They were just people, some of them
kind of knew each other.
Well, they knew each other. I mean, they were all famous in the art world, but
yeah.
Well, they just like were there.
I think Master Splinter just really likes the high life. I don't know. He's just like really into Renaissance artwork.
Maybe. Yeah.
He was inspired by David, you know?
I think Master Splinter would be inspired by this
podcast?
Museum. No. Oh. Well, I don't know. I don't know if Master Splinter's into podcasts. Master Splinter, if you want to listen, if you want to come on the show, thelittlestheadline@gmail.com.
I feel like we're doing a lot of things we don't normally do, like talk about pop culture and like make fun of the way we say words.
You mean make fun of the way I say words.
Make fun of the way Yeon says words.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry for that.
It's all right. It was all in good fun.
Agreed.
And I probably do. I mean, clearly if both of you think I'm saying it weird, then I don't know, just no one's ever commented. Or maybe they have.
If it makes you feel any better.
I don't feel that bad about it. It's okay.
Well, I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
One of my friends last week said Gouda instead of Gouda.
I also used to say that, actually.
Okay.
I stopped saying it.
My point is redacted. Or not redacted.
It's not like a recent... Like I used to say it a while ago.
Yeah.
Gouda.
Apparently, that's the way the rest of the world says Gouda.
I also said...
And we're the weird ones.
There was a time... I think we were in like rowing camp and I said mooned instead of mound and everyone laughed at me. It's always those words that you least expect.
You know what I was about to bring up?
What?
Epitome again. And then I realized we've talked about this.
That would have been the third time.
I was about to be like, you know what I said weird? And then I realized this has been like the third time I brought it up on this podcast.
Don't forget to support your local newspaper, Epitome. I'm Rowan. All right. Speaking of not forgetting to support your local newspaper, I think we can wrap it up.
Let's do it.
Great. Listener, I would like to personally thank you for listening to this episode of The Littlest Headline. Thank you. Moses, now you thank the listener.
I don't think I will, actually.
Okay.
I've never done it before, and I won't start now.
Rowan, you thank the listener.
Thank you.
Now, Moses, you get another chance to thank the listener.
Nope.
Come on, Moses.
Moses does not appreciate you, listener, but Rowan and I appreciate you enough.
Hey, listener. You guys keep talking. Hey, listener.
No, because they're not going to hear you if you keep talking under us.
Hey, listener. I mean, hey, listener. I really do appreciate you listening to the podcast. I hope you can hear me right now. But I don't want these two to.
Yeah, I hope the compressor is going to be able to catch that.
Because I'm like the bad boy of the podcast, you know? So I just, you know, they can't know that I really appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. If you want to email us, you can email us at thelittlesoutline@gmail.com.
It's so sad that Moses hates all our listeners. I wish he would say something to like...
I wish he would just show his appreciation.
You guys are really awesome. Thank you. Yeah, we can wrap up the podcast now.
Okay.
Great.
Moses, you were really quiet for a long time there. Something...
I know, you really just didn't talk for a minute there.
Yeah, I was thinking about how I'm gonna go do bad things later because I'm the bad boy of the podcast.
I'll have you all know Moses is wearing rubber duck socks right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go not do my homework.
Oh. Dang.
Can we finish the podcast?
Yeah, we can finish the podcast now. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Littlest Headline. We hope you've enjoyed your stay in Tupper Lake, reading the Tupper Lake Free Press and the Tupper Lake Herald. We know that we have certainly enjoyed it. But before you go, stay with us just a little longer, and we will hit you with some key takeaways.
My key takeaway for this episode is that high school varsity bowling is inescapable. You can't do anything about it. There's nothing to do except join the team because it's a super fun experience, and you know, it's a great opportunity for you to work as a team and get to play a sport and all that. So that's my key takeaway. It's completely unavoidable, inescapable.
My key takeaway is that in Tupper Lake, the older you get, the stronger you become. This nonagenarian Bob Popcorn Duhame can get it, and by it, I mean this concrete that he's mixing by hand. And Mr. Lanthier, building those ceilings, also great job. You know what? My key takeaway is a shout out to these old people building stuff in Tupper Lake. Shout out to you, old people building stuff in Tupper Lake.
And my key takeaway is a shout out to all the people who participated in the Tour de Ski in Tupper Lake, because that seems like a very, very cool annual tradition, and it's taking place on a golf course. It's pretty awesome. Go check it out. And don't forget to support your local newspaper. I'm Rowan.
I'm Moses.
I'm Yoni. This has been The Littlest Headline. We will catch you in the next issue.
Thanks for listening to The Littlest Headline. Want to keep up with our latest shenanigans? Follow us on Instagram, @TheLittlestHeadline. And if you've got any questions, comments, or concerns, or you want to suggest a newspaper for us to review, email us @thelittlestheadline@gmail.com.